Hey, what's good, fam? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. This is episode el numero 30. We're here, Jess, looking good. Jess Estep, the tenacious Jess Estep, is with us today. And you might also notice a new voice that is here. The keen Andrew Thompson is with us. And we are so grateful to have you with us today, Andrew. Andrew is... I don't guess you're really new anymore, but
I'm still new.
Yeah, okay. He's the new youth minister at the Rogersville Church of Christ, and Jess and I have lots of friends over at Rogersville. He's got some family there. Mm-hmm. I have friends there as well, so we all have some ties there, and we're very thankful and grateful that Andrew's there and doing a great job. But we are so thankful that you're joining us today on the Ministry Zoo. Jess, what's been going on with you?
Well, we've had a pretty good week. Like I said last week, it's kind of a slow time right now as far as major events. We've been kind of swinging through with our weekly and monthly activities. This past week, we had Wednesday night, we had our 121 where we eat a meal together, the youth group, and then do a service project. Right now, we're kind of planning a Valentine's banquet, so that's kind of been the work part of 121 over the past couple of weeks. Been doing some planning for the new year, and right. We always do that at the start of the year when we kick it back off in January. So I'm looking forward to the plans progressing for that Valentine's banquet. And then Sunday night, of course, was Exalt.
Yep.
And I thought that went well. We had good night of singing.
Yeah, you bailed me out super hardcore at Exalt, man. I appreciate you doing that for me. Thank you very much.
No problem. I was very confused what was going on, because if you weren't there, and most of you listening, watching probably weren't, but Wes had, I think, one more song.
Yeah.
And you just came over, I mean, just cold, just gave me the mic and said, I can't even remember what you said. You said something like, I'm done. I was like, and so I get up and his song is still on, his next song is still up there, which I knew. And I was, but the craziest thoughts going through my head is Wes mad? Has he seen something in the back that has made him mad that he cannot go anymore? Turns out you just lost your voice a little bit.
Yeah, I had preached Sunday and then, Bible class on top of all that. And then just, the last four or five bars, the last four or five measures of that last song that I led, I literally said nothing. I just moved my mouth so that people would kind of know where we're at. And then I just handed you the mic and you were just like,
yeah.
Sweet, let's do this.
Let's go. So I was like, I don't think this is my first song, but let's just sing it. And so I have to be honest with you. I mean, not the whole rest of the time I was leading.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time I was leading, I was looking around the room thinking, who's he mad at? who has Wes seen in here that has caused him to not be able to go anymore?
Yeah, it was because Andrew wasn't there.
Probably, that's right.
Because Andrew wasn't there and Evan wasn't there. So when you realize that. No. Yeah. So it's been a good week. What about you? What'd you get into?
You know, just sort of the same thing, just kind of making preparations for the year. You know, it takes a good 3 or 4 weeks to really get rolling, kind of find your direction, kind of find where people are at. You know, you kind of have to reset. And, of course, we're in full-out lads to leaders mode, in our classroom, in our curriculum right now. So making those preparations and going along with that, it's been busy, but it's not that just overwhelming busy that comes along. So, you know, making preparations for that. But, I did want to take an opportunity to say, if you were at Exalt Sunday night, I was not mad. I was not in a weird situation. I just lost my voice. I could not continue on. I went home and gargled with some salt water. I mean, I tried to do all kinds of therapy to try to recover so that just in case you wanted to record on Monday, I could have been able to, but luckily we were in a position where we needed to take a couple of days. But
well, your voice is silky smooth today, let me tell you, brother.
You.
It sounds good.
Thank you.
And I did kind of go through my mind, like, was Larry back there cutting you off? Like he's making Wes mad, so Wes is just fed up. No, there wasn't anything like that. No, so I'm glad. And I texted you.
Yeah.
I saw you in the back. I was like, I got to find out. I got to know. Is he okay?
Yeah.
So you're okay. Yeah. Andrew, what about you? What's going on at Rville?
Well, I was not at Exalt Sunday
night. Yeah, we noticed.
Occasionally.
Larry took notes.
Oh, well, good.
And attendance.
Yeah.
And attendance.
Yes. Well, it's the first one I've missed, so it's all right. Mm. Occasionally, we like to take our group and go to a smaller congregation and provide some encouragement to them. So that's what we did Sunday night. We took a group of about 35 over to Elgin.
Awesome.
And just showed up and worshiped with them, and it was a good time together. Mm-hmm. And I got to know their minister a little bit better. He's a young guy.
Who's that?
Sean Traster. He's from Heritage Christian, and he preaches over there. This Sunday, we have our big winter kickoff going on. It's where all the families get together, and we cater a meal, and we'll outline all the things that are going to be happening in the spring and try to, you know, get excited about that and promote that. And then... you know, we have the big game coming up.
The big game.
February 5th. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're having a churchwide Super Bowl party. S-O-U-P-E-R.
I see what you're
Everybody's going to be bringing their favorite soups to the Super Bowl party. So
okay.
We're excited about that.
I like it.
A lot of
it.
Good stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never really thought about it like that. I think that's... That's unique. I like that. Yeah. It's very cool. So, you know, lots of things going on. Parental involvement is the discussion for today. And certainly if you're listening to this on the podcast app later, we encourage you to get in touch with us and kind of let us know the way that you handle parental involvement, how much parental involvement you have or may not have. And maybe some of the successes, the victories that you've had there, maybe some of the failures that you've had there, some of the struggles. We want to hear those things, and Jess will, of course, give all that information at the end of the show. But today we are talking about parental involvement, and we have a first word. So, Jess, why don't you go ahead and lay that on us?
The first word today is simply a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, where the writer is really speaking to the parents about the way that they need to handle Scripture with their children. Mm-hmm. And he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Now, whether he's literally saying you need to do this exactly at these times, I guess that's up to your interpretation. Right. I think that would be a great idea. But I think the overall idea is... that parents need to be involved in teaching their children God's Word, and however they need to do that, it needs to be often, and they need to be part of it. And so we're going to apply that today to our discussion about parents being involved in the youth ministry. Now, does there have to be a youth ministry in your church? You talked about some smaller churches may not have a youth ministry, may not have a youth group, may not have a youth minister, and that's okay. It's okay because kids can still go to heaven without a youth minister and without being a part of an organized youth program. Now, they're beneficial, but in the case where there is not one of those programs, and even in the case where there is, parents need to be largely involved with that ministry, with their children's lives, in helping raise Christian young people. It makes our position, our job, so much easier as youth ministers to have parents who are dedicated to be involved in that work, because it shows that they're involved in their children's lives and their spiritual upbringing. So that's the thrust of the discussion today. I wanted to bring Andrew in because he's doing a great job from what I've seen at Rogersville and what I hear from Rogersville in doing this. He told me he's no expert. We don't expect you to be an expert. But we know that you'll have some good comments to make, and it'll be a good discussion. Mm-hmm. We love to bring in guests. It gives just a different point of view anyway. So we'll just kind of open the discussion. I think Wes is going to pretty much be kind of our MC for this discussion.
I'm in charge.
And so it'll be sort of interview style, but I really I want to open this discussion up. And like I said, we're seeing your comments on Facebook Live, so please comment there, and we'll try to get to your questions or your comments and mention them in the show and just have a little talk about this.
Yeah, so today, you know, if you have a comment, we're trying to do things a little more mainstream. So we're going to try to answer you as quickly as possible, whether it be by comment or posting something back to you as you comment on the Facebook Live feed. So today we're, you know, obviously we're talking about parental involvement. We're going to, you know, there's three main areas that we want to talk about, and there's obviously more than three areas, but, you know, these three are important, and they're crucial to how you involve your parents and how you keep your parents involved and enlightened into what's happening in your youth program. Because let's be real, they're going to want to know what their kids are doing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who's in charge or who's setting up the event. They want to know, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, we come back from golf, and I was talking to one of the parents, and one of the parents said, you do realize that the first trip you took with my oldest daughter, you were 22 years old, and you took them to Atlanta. That was the first big trip I took. Now, as I'm sitting here as a father of two at 30 years old, and I think, would I do that? Would I let my kid go with a 22-year-old on the, you know? And so parents want to know, and they want to know exactly every detail. Now, at 22, when people wanted to know every detail of every youth trip, it kind of offended me, almost like they didn't trust me. Yeah. But, you know, with wisdom and maturity, I have learned that questions are very good, and it's good to know. And that way you've communicated to as many people as possible every little thing. So that breaks off into our first part of our discussion. That's communication. So we all have different ways in which we communicate, the way that we talk, the way that we message people, whatever it is, however the case might be, we all communicate differently. So we'll just start off. Andrew, we'll start with you. What are some different ways that you communicate to your parents?
Well, some might say I tend to over-communicate. some people have joked with me at Rogersville about, well, something's wrong with Andrew if we're not getting an email, a text, if we don't see something on social media. So I try to use every avenue that's available to me to communicate to the parents about things that are going on, whether it's email. I use MailChimp. It's a very easy service. Use Remind to send out texts to the parents. The drawback to that is sometimes parents don't sign up for that, so then I have to figure out who's not signed up and make sure they get the information as well. In the past, I've used Facebook and Instagram and got the word out that way. Also, we have a bulletin. And at the end of services, it's like open mic time. I get up and I make announcements. So really, there is no reason for anybody to not know what's going on, but there still are people that don't know.
Sure.
And then we have big events, sort of like the kickoffs, where I can get the families together and outline things that are coming up and give them the information that way. So if there's an avenue of communication, I've explored it and I've tried it probably at least one time.
Yeah. So, Jess, what about you? Do you kind of go along the same frame? Do you kind of use the same avenues? How do you communicate with your parents?
Pretty much between all of those avenues. We try at Killen to minimize duplicate announcements, which sometimes makes getting the word that I'm trying to get out there a little difficult. In other words, so for instance, we try not to have multiple announcements that are in the bulletin on the screen. We do announcement slides up there on the screens, announcements that are just, you know, from the pulpit. So the elders have kind of asked everybody to try to pick one of those, one of those venues. And so it does make it a little bit more challenging. And a lot of people wonder, well, why am I not getting? And maybe that's part of the reason. But as far as the social media, the text things for larger events, maybe not for everything for the parents, but for the larger events, deadlines, events coming up, I don't use Remind, but I do have a text app that texts all the parents at once.
Right.
So I'll send that out. I've been using MailChimp some. I don't use it as much as I should because I haven't really got it nailed down where it's just a quick thing for me. It takes me a long time to put all that together. And maybe everybody's thinking, well, you're just dumb then because it's real easy. But it really does because you have to be at a desktop, and I probably don't do most of my work around a desktop. So, that's Facebook. Is a big thing. We have, of course, we have our own, youth group page. And so I try to get everything on there. So that's, pretty much the same, but just without using all of the venues available to me.
But I think the last time I tried to do a MailChimp letter, I think it took me like 45 minutes to put it together.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and so it takes you, 10?
I'm not judging.
takes you like 10, right?
We need to have a tutorial.
So, I think a lot of it had to do with we had like different forms. And so I was trying to like, if you wanted to go to golf, you could click on the golf picture and it would take you to our website, our church website. And, you could fill out the registration form and all that stuff there. And I just bombed it. I mean, it was just terrible. It's just the first couple of times I tried to do it, it was just and when you send something out like that, you just want it to work very smoothly. Mm-hmm. You want it to be very user friendly. So I think that's why it took me so long, was I was trying to incorporate different web addresses and different forms. And so maybe you can show me how to do that before we leave today.
I think my biggest question with it, which is getting off of the discussion, but maybe some of you are interested too, is using the same campaign, they call it, as a template for further ones, but being able to rename them with the new date, because mm-hmm. when I've tried to do that, it won't let me save it as a new, like the new date. So it'll show up when I share it on social media, it'll still say, the date that I first created it. Mm-hmm. So then I have to create a whole new campaign, and then you got to do all the layout stuff. So anyway, we can have that discussion after. I have a question that kind of goes along with the just overall in general how you communicate with your parents. How do you communicate your desire for them to be part of the ministry? And in other words, do you tell them that they're welcome at any event, or do you have certain events that you say, okay, we really encourage you to be at these, while, kind of making it clear these are really just for the teens.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you differentiate those things? And do you do that from the pulpit? Do you do that in your Remind app? How would you go about that?
I think that's probably an area I've grown in, because when I moved to Columbus, I didn't necessarily say up front that I believe families, parents are vital to the ministry, so therefore some of them just took a back seat. So when I moved to Rogersville, the very first day that I was there, they had a big kind of meet and greet for me, and I laid out some of this stuff, and I just told them up front, I said, a car cannot run off of one wheel effectively, and neither can a ministry. And so it's going to take myself, it's going to take the parents, the kids, and even other adults in the congregation to really make this effective in what we want it to be. And so having said that, now I can kind of remind them, hey, when I first came here, we talked about the teamwork aspect, and it's going to take all of us together. Now, as far as certain events go, one of the areas I focus on in getting our parents to come and be involved in is service projects, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's very important for families to serve along together and share that together. Now, when it comes to devotionals and things where we may talk more on a personal level, I don't necessarily encourage them to come, but I don't discourage it either. So you just kind of sort of have to pick and choose and understand that kids need their time by themselves to grow, but they also need to be spending time with their family and understanding that serving together is important, having family devotional time together is important, and I'll hit on more of the family aspect when we talk about special events, but one of the things that we focused on from January 1 this year is having our families sit down together and have devotional time every single day, and we provided tools and resources to them to do that. Mm-hmm. And so while parents are vital for ministry, I think they're more important in their own home.
In the home, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
You know, I agree with that. I think one thing that we have found that works as far as a balance goes is, when we're having devotionals or something like that, our parents are really good to stick around and help serve the food, whatever, and be in that arena. And they'll even stay and they'll sing with us. And then after the singing, when the devotional really starts to kick in, they know that, if their kids got something on their heart, typically they don't want to say something like that in front of their mom or their dad. Yeah. So, once the singing starts to wind down and we run into the devotional period, a lot of our parents will just, up and leave on their own. And that's something that, I haven't discouraged them doing, so they continue to do that. And I'm very thankful for that, because they understand the importance of, this is their time and we can go on. But I like the family devotional aspect. I like, you know, I mean, youth ministry is important, and it was huge for me because, you know, Andrew, you don't know a lot about my past, and you know, my father passed away when I was 11 years old, so I really didn't have a male presence, you know, to follow and guide. So Matt Hupel, who was our youth minister, really kind of took me in. So youth ministry has been huge for me throughout my entire life. But, you know, Matt also made it important to know that, you know, I can't do it all, you know, and that's one of the things that I've tried to take into my youth ministry is that I just can't do it all. You know, we need families, we need parents, and we need them to be involved. But yet when we're talking about communication, why is it so important? Why do we need to communicate better, Jess? I mean, why do you think we need to communicate so much with everybody, parents included?
Well, if we're specifically with parents, to me, it's important to have that bit of communication so, you know, one, they know what you're doing and they know what your plans are with their kids, just like you were talking a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, what is your plan on this trip? You're 22 years old. Of course, we're both a little bit older than that at this point. But I think that... you know, to communicate that you want them to be a part of it, because they may not know that. They may not know. They may think, you know, especially if you're the new guy, they're kind of wondering, okay, is he going to want us around? Is he not going to want us around? What kind of ministry we're going to have here? And I think that just them knowing if you want them involved or not is a big deal to parents. As my son grows up, he's a little bit older now. You know, I'm interested to see, you know, with the school system, of course, I'll be his youth minister.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see, you know, in the school, how the teachers interact with us and how involved they want us to be, you know, with the school and with their activities, because I kind of see that as real similar. Of course, our son's at Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes everybody kind of jokes about it. It's just one big youth group at Mars Hill and kind of runs that way sometimes. So I think it's important to communicate, to let them know what's going on and what your plans are, and to know how involved that you want them to be.
Yeah. Andrew, why is it important to communicate to parents?
Parents have power.
Yeah.
If they feel out of the loop or not wanted, or the list can go on and on. Well, they may just pluck their kid out of the youth group and say, all right, well, you're not going to be involved with that youth minister because he obviously doesn't care what the parents think.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that becomes detrimental to the student because they're not as involved as they used to be. So communication is vital in that aspect, because we may feel like we're the parents sometimes, but we're not.
Right.
And they have the power to kind of decide what their kid is involved in and not involved in.
Well, and also, that goes along with that, they may have resources and things that they would provide to you that you otherwise wouldn't know about. And maybe all they're waiting for is for you to say, we'd love you to be involved. If there's anything that you can provide for the youth group that would, you know, help in activities or whatever. You know, I said something similar to that one time from the pulpit. I had like three people. They weren't even parents. It was just, you know, from the pulpit. And one of them said, hey, I've got a farm. You know, it's got a creek on it. And we'd love for the youth group to come and camp out or just come splash around in the creek. And I had no idea. And I don't think that this person probably would have even, you know, come and said anything had I not said, you know, we want to be a part of your lives. You know, is there some way that you can be involved? And so I think that's important too. And that can really be a blessing.
Yeah.
Because there may be somebody that has like really awesome, you know, basement that has, you know, a lot of cool things for young people to get into. And, you know, if you don't open that up and communicate, then you might not find out.
Yeah, if you're not communicating, you'll struggle to find every resource that's available to you, because you know, people, you know, it's not that they don't want you to be involved with mm-hmm. them or use their facility or whatever, but they may think they just don't have a use for it. Yeah. So kind of wrap up, what are your final thoughts on communicating with parents? What are some things that if you're going to advise somebody on communication, What do you tell a new youth minister about communicating with parents?
Just be upfront with them from the very beginning. Whatever you want to say to start laying your groundwork in ministry, just be straightforward with them, mm-hmm. and let them know this is what I'm about. This is how I want to approach things, and you know, we want you involved, and we need to find ways to involve you, because ultimately, I've told them several times. I said, you as parents, you're the real youth ministers. I'm just the associate, and so I need you. You need me. Let's work together and start off on the right foot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would say, in an area that I continue to try to grow is being consistent. Be consistent with your communication, whether it's through a texting app or meeting in person. You know, our in-person meetings were really sporadic for a while. And, you know, I'd give them a load of information, and then we might not meet again as a whole for another year in a formal meeting. And so, you know, that kind of came up at one of the meetings, and I said, well, y'all tell me, you know, how often do you guys want to meet? You want to meet every quarter, every, you know, once a year, twice a year? And we kind of decided on twice a year was, you know, an appropriate, you know, time frame for having a formal meeting where I gave them information. So now we meet in the spring, we meet in the fall, and give them about 5 to 6 months calendar, go over what we have planned, and we'll have some meetings in between there for other events, you know, like the mission trip and, you know, different things that we need to meet about, that are more interest based. You know, I want to be more consistent with using MailChimp, and I want to be more consistent with, you know, texting, giving the weekly updates and things like that. So sure. I'm saying that for me, and I would say because I need that, I think probably other people as well, probably it's a good idea to just be consistent.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up communication, just think early and often comes to parents. Communicate early with them what's going to happen, what's going to be happening. And it's also good to let parents know, just like, you know, when I bring up golf a lot because it's fresh. But I told the parents, I said, look, we've never done this before. So expect something that's on the itinerary, that's in the plan. Expect something to go differently. Just be ready for it. You know, and let's just be flexible and let's move. So let them know that up front. Just communicate as early and as often as possible with your parents that you can. Before we move into the next one, Paul Sperling said that we are his three favorite Flowtown guys. So just wanted to let that be known that.
Well, Paul's, I'm not in Flowtown, so I'll take the honorary membership.
We love you too, Paul. Thank you for watching.
Technically, we're not either.
And being a part. Listen.
Well, he is. Shallow has a Florence address.
It does have a Florence address, yes. So I'll take it. I'm your favorite.
Shoals area. Shoals area is what he means.
Next, we want to talk about special events and including the parents in special events. So, Andrew, what's some special events that you do that the parents, you absolutely need to have them involved with?
Well, as far as, like, special events that the youth group is involved in, I'm sort of growing in that aspect.
Yeah.
But I do special events throughout the year for the parents. One thing that I've done in the past is I've taken a quarter and I've asked all the parents that have kids to come and have class with me. And as I get to know the kids, I find out some issues they're facing. And then I address those with the parents, your kid is struggling with such and such.
Sure.
But it's a general idea, and I tell them, hey, these are what our kids are struggling with. Let's have a dialogue about it. Let's see what the Bible says about it, and let's put some resources in your hand to kind of deal with that at home.
Yeah.
And so I've done that in the past. Obviously, being sick, not 6 months at Rogersville, I'm not quite there yet to sit down with the parents, but it's something I hope to do in the future. One thing, as I mentioned earlier, the parents are more vital in the home, and they're vital to the ministry, but they're more important to their home. So January 1, and y'all may have heard of this book, the One Word book that a lot of people and guys in Tennessee put together with devotionals. Well, we placed one of those books in each one of our family's hands on awesome. January 1 and said, all right, this is what we're going to do together as families this year. And so we want you to have dialogue at home. This is one of the verses we used in Deuteronomy 6:7, and stress the importance of just family time together. And so we look for that, those occasions to kind of strengthen our families, not necessarily find ways to for them to be involved in the youth ministry, because I feel like as their homes are strengthened, they're going to want to be involved in youth ministry because yeah. now they are more involved in their kids' lives at home. One thing that I do with parents is we have a committee of parents, and we meet together periodically, and they sort of serve as my advisory committee. I'll bounce ideas off of them. They'll bounce ideas off of me. We'll kind of put together a calendar. We'll talk about goals that our kids want, that we want our kids to meet by the time they graduate 12th grade. And we use that time together to understand each other, understand what they want for their kids, for them to understand what I want for their kids, and kind of create a balance, a vision, a plan, and that goes into planning our calendar. Now, with that, we just hand select parents. We look at the makeup of our ministry, and we say, all right, who would be good in this role? And so we ask them to be a part of that. And the ultimate goal is for them to kind of also step into some leadership roles. Like, for instance, this year, and y'all do the same thing, you have monthly devotionals. Mm-hmm. Well, one of our parents has taken on that role of finding homes, finding speakers, making sure, finding dates, and making sure all of that goes well. So I'm learning to delegate also, because yeah. now I have to put a lot of trust that somebody's going mm-hmm. to follow through on that. Now I have to communicate with them. But I see that as a positive, because they are now involved in ministry, and they see that as important for their kids. And the bigger goal in all of this is that they are going to other parents and saying, can you be involved in ministry? And so it's sort of a trickle-down effect, if you will. And so that's one thing that we do. And I've also looked for seminars in the past. You know, we have a lot of marriage seminars. Mm-hmm. I've looked for seminars, workshops that will strengthen the family instead of just marriages. And Family Forward is one that we've used. Mark Butts and Andrew Itzen and a couple of other people put that together, and I've done that in the past, and it worked really well. And so, you know, as far as special events go, we tend to focus more on strengthening the family at home,
awesome,
as opposed to outlining mm-hmm. events that parents can be involved in.
And remind us again, it's Family Forward.
Yeah, Family Forward.
If you wanna look into that, and I assume you can Google, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And plug that up. So absolutely, I think that's great. Jess, what about special events with parental involvement? How do you do that?
Well, you know, I mean, that's one of those areas that we really want to grow. A lot of the thrust from this topic is because this is one of our focal points in our 3-point focus for the year with our youth group, because, you know, doing some reflection on the ministry here, this is an area that we've kind of lacked in a little bit. It's not that the parents haven't been involved with their kids, but that whole interaction, you know, as a whole, I'd like to have more of that. I'd like to have them more involved with, take for instance, we do 2 retreats now, and we ask some of the, we tell the parents, you know, they're welcome to come, but what I usually do is, you know, the ones that have always come, you know, usually still come, and I don't usually go and, you know, individually ask them to come unless I need help with cooking. So I usually do the least. Well, you know, I was kind of toying around with having a family retreat. Since we have 2, maybe doing the fall retreat, the one that's more local, do that as a family retreat where we have family activities, family games, that kind of thing. Of course, it wouldn't be just for families. We do have students that don't have parents, mm-hmm. Some that just come by themselves, to be honest. And so we don't want to leave them out, but we do want to promote their families being there. And I've kind of toyed around with that, course, we'll get into the difficulty in that in the next part of this discussion. So that's an area that we want to grow. I want them to be more involved. I mean, I like what you're saying about them being, in their homes. We need to strengthen that too. But I would like them to be a part of more of that planning and more of being there on some of the trips. And so that was kind of, you know, that's kind of what I'm wondering about the special events. And I like what you said, you know, them being in the class. I think that's the stuff that I'm interested in, is like them being in class for a quarter. And we do a monthly curriculum. So, you know, we might have them in for a month, Sunday and Wednesday for a month, and then moving on. I like that. So I would just say, you know, any ideas you guys have as far as, you know, events that you do specifically for families, whether it's at home or with the youth group, that we can all, you know, be involved in. I just think with the numbers of teens who are leaving the church, you know, whether it's involvement at home or with the youth group, we need to be increasing with our families. And so, you know, as far as special events, we're going to look to plan some more events, maybe to get the ball rolling, just to all be together. You know, I'd like to probably do one a quarter this year, where we're all together. And in the past, we've done family devotionals once a quarter, so that's an idea that is probably going to come back. And so probably in March, we'll have a family devotional here at the building. But I think that's all good stuff. I love it. I'm writing all this down because I just feel like it's so important, and I love to hear, you know, other people's ideas. What about you, Wes?
The family aspect of things it's just so important. So we've toyed around with the idea of a family retreat. You know, I know a lot of congregations do that, and they have great results from that. One thing that I have tried to really nail down is promoting a class that would put our parents and our teens together. And it sounds like Andrew has done that. So I look forward to bouncing some of my ideas off of him to see what he's found to be successful and what he's struggled with. But I just think that's so important because, and I'll tell you the kind of the way that I wanted to structure it. So we have a full quarter. So I've thought about, you know, a few weeks separate, a few weeks together, and then one final week of just, you know, let's really hammer this thing out and what we've discussed. So, I don't know how it would work or what would be the best way to do that, but, you know, we just try to implement as much family as we can. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we came back to Shiloh, they wanted it to be a youth and family ministry. You know, they didn't want it to just be the youth minister and then that's it. That's all you focus on. So, because elders see it. I mean, they see it and they understand that the family aspect, the home aspect, is something that is just crumbling in our society. And they know that young people need their families. They need a support system at home. They need to feel comfortable in their home. And if we can build those homes from a godly perspective, that's the best home that we can provide for our children. And so that's what we've been working on. We've just been trying to allow as many opportunities for families to be involved with things as possible. It doesn't necessarily have to be a special event per se. It just needs to be something where the family feels invited. So, but special events are something that we want to move into, you know, examples like the retreats and the classes. So, you know, to have a special event per se, exactly, we do not have one. Mm-hmm. We just try to implement as much family as possible while we can and make them feel comfortable about being there. So,
well, and I think y'all agree with me. One of the struggles we have as youth ministers is the same parents are involved
all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's, you know, what I'm searching for is trying to figure out, okay, how do I get the parents that are okay with sitting on the sidelines mm-hmm. to be involved, because mm-hmm. you know, I have a group of parents I can go to every time and say, hey, I need this done, and bam, sure. it's done. Yeah. But
you could burn them out.
Yeah.
You know, and then they want to sit
yeah.
out for a little while.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's the real struggle that I have is how do I get those parents involved?
Yeah. And that can be it can almost be frustrating, I guess, could be a word to use, because, you know, we want more families involved, and, you know, some are just real timid. some, I have not experienced this at Shiloh, but talking with other youth ministers, I've heard them say, you know, parents have told them, hey, look, it's your job.
Yeah.
You know, this, yeah. this is your job.
It's right.
That's why we're paying you. You know, and that can become a real struggle because if we can't get them involved, if we can't get them there, they can't really see the magnitude of what's happening, the inner workings of what's happening. And, you know, youth ministers are more than just guys who plan a devotional and drive a bus. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people just, if they don't understand that, they don't understand that. So that's why it's important to get the families in there to see that their child is growing, being around other young people, being involved with their youth ministry, being involved with their youth minister. And we want the families to grow too. So we're trying to build that. And I think Andrew's right on with that. It's, you know, you have that group of parents that will always be there. And then you have that group that if they're asked, yes, they will be there. And then you have that group. It's your job.
Right.
You know, and that can be a real struggle if you're in that environment.
And I guess the frustration comes from if you do plan a special event that's for parents and families.
Yeah.
Well, you know which families are going to show up sure. already, and it's like, mm-hmm. do they really need that?
Right.
What can I do for the families who are not going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they really need that I can't offer them in a special event?
Yeah.
And that may be a discussion, a whole other all new itself, discussion. Yeah. You know, how do you get families on the outside, on the inside?
Yeah.
You know, how do you get families or parents that have not typically been involved? How do you get them involved? And mm-hmm. you know, I like what you said, you know, about all the things, you know, they need to start at home, and then maybe that encourages them then to go sign the sheet when it's time for sign ups for devotionals at homes, you know. And that's another thing, you know, that we have changed over the past couple of years is instead of having our devos up here, when we can, we try to have them in homes.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets, you know, that gets parents involved in a small way, but big to them. They open their home to us and we get to be, you know, a part of that. When we had our progressive dinner Christmas party, you know, it was great because we had, I think, four houses we went to.
Yeah.
And so we were able to go into the homes of these, you know, four families and spend a little time with them. Of course, it's kind of boom, boom, boom. But
right.
So just simple things like that, you know, the more you can do to get them involved.
Sure. Absolutely. So the last thing that we really want to hit on when it comes to parental involvement is balancing the time that we need involvement against, you know, the time that their teenagers really don't want them there. You know, because, you know, we've all experienced it, the three of us at this table and youth ministers in general. You've all had that kid ask, is my mom going to be there? Is my dad going to be there? Can we not have my parents be there this time? Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you communicate to them, or how do you show a balance to those parents that, yeah, you know, we'd love to have you, but don't, you know?
Yeah. And on the flip side, Andrew, how do you communicate that to your teens that, sorry, there's going to be times when we're going to push to have your parents there and they're saying, we don't want them there.
Yeah. All on you.
Come on, Andrew, tell us. And then I'm going to share this with all the teens in your youth group.
It's a very good question.
That
doesn't have a firm answer.
No, it's kind of a difficult
It's question. Sort of a catch 22.
It's a specific question with a general answer.
You know, like I said in the beginning, it's important to communicate to the parents that they're vital to ministry. And one of the mentalities I think that parents struggle with, they some of them want to be involved, but they know their kids don't want them there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, instead of offending my kid and creating chaos at home, I'd just rather not be there. Because I've heard the excuses from the kids, you know, do my parents really have to be there? You know,
yeah.
That sort of thing. And anytime I hear that, I'll just simply ask, well, why don't you want your parent there?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, they embarrass me. Well, what do you do to make them embarrass you?
Yeah.
You know, and I try to explain to them why it's important, mainly because you only have so much time with your family,
right.
Your parents. Not all of us are lucky enough to have two-parent homes or right. even have a parent for the majority of our life. And so cherish the time that you have with them.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that I've learned, because I lost my mom a year and a half ago. And so family, and that was a big reason for moving back to this area, was family. You know? And so I try to explain to them, it's important. You may not want your parents there, but it's important that y'all do things together, because mm-hmm. you'll build memories. You'll remember the time that they embarrassed you. You'll remember the time that they showed up when you didn't expect them to. You'll remember all these things that you did together. But if you tell them all the time, hey, you need to stay home, well, you lose out on memories. Yeah. And not only that, you lose out on building a deeper relationship with your parents and your family. And so I don't really know the answer to what the balance is, but trying to get families and kids to understand the importance of the time that you do have together, whether it's in your home, whether it's on a youth event, whether it's a service project, whatever it is, you need to be doing that together.
Yeah.
I wish that we were not so, and I say we, you know, I've got a six-year-old. He's going to get older. And so I need to go back and listen to this episode when I'm, you know, when he's 13. But I just wish that we weren't so concerned with the feelings of our kids about us being there and not being there. Mm-hmm. And in other words, you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, that the parents, sometimes, some parents, not all, are too concerned about embarrassing their kid by being there or offending their kid by being there even. And I just think that's the wrong way to look at this part of ministry. Okay, if the kid has an activity at school that parents are typically not there for, okay, maybe don't show up, or, you know... You know, I mean, and even then you might have a desire to be there. But with ministry, to me, it's different. I mean, I know there's some times when they wouldn't be there. Monthly devotionals, like you said earlier, there's times when it's more a personal thing. But if you have a family devotional a family retreat, and you push it as that, and you have 30 kids and two sets of parents that want to go because everybody else's parents are saying, well, my kid doesn't want me there. Well, that's not a family retreat.
Yeah.
It's not a family retreat. And so I just wish that, you know, we would do the right thing for our kids, mm-hmm. because we've been doing the wrong thing in large ways for so long, and they're not staying with the church. And I don't mean that to be harsh, and I'm not saying anybody specifically. I'm just speaking in general. In general, what Wes said a while ago is true, that the youth minister becomes... not the babysitter. I don't know that the majority of parents view it as a babysitter, but that it's your job
right.
to plan and put forth and execute every activity that the youth group does. And maybe the youth minister brings that on himself, but if he's trying and you're not, and you're just bowing out because I don't want to embarrass my kid, you know, my kid's saying he's not going to go if I'm there. Who's the parent?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry,
yeah.
You know, but we can't have that attitude. If we want our kids to go to heaven, we want to give them the best opportunity to go to heaven that we can as parents, we've got to be involved. And I know that that's not really the question. The question is, what can we do to ease the kids' minds and ease the parents' minds, and how do we balance that? But I just think, you know, maybe to ease their mind on it, just say, look, there are some times I feel like it's important for your parents to be here. We're going to have some, and this is kind of word for word what I told mine at the beginning of the year when we were talking about this theme. I said, there's going to be a lot of times when your parents aren't here, but I want them to be involved in this ministry, and I want them to be involved in your lives, and y'all need to grow together. And I didn't get a whole lot of blowback on that, except for the retreat thing.
Yeah.
They were still really opposed to the family retreat, but I think it'll be like some other things, that once we do it and once we do the activities, I think that it will be fun, you know, and we have to remind them that they love each other. sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I would, you know, for the teens, that's kind of the direction I went. For the parents, I'll just say let's start being a part of their spiritual lives, you know, because let's face it, we'll be at every ball game.
Yeah.
We'll be at every debate tournament. You know, all of those things are important. I'm not demeaning those things, but it's for some reason it's different when it comes to this part of the youth ministry, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I would share, one of the last things that my father and I were able to do together, we had a junior high retreat, and that was in November, I think. And then we lost Dad in May of the mm-hmm. next year. So, you know, that's time that will always be fresh on my mind, you know, that will always – I will always cherish that. And that's one thing that I try to tell kids, especially the kids in our youth group, is, you know, you just don't know. You just never know. And so when your parents have the opportunity, and they want to be, because a lot of kids don't experience the blessing of having parents who want to be involved in their life. They just don't care. You know, unfortunately, I don't have to see that. I don't have, you know, I have parents who love their kids and want to be involved. But, you know, when a kid starts to get frustrated because their parents there, you know, I just want to remind them, you just don't know. I mean, they're here because they love you. It's not because they want to embarrass you. They will.
Yeah.
It's not because they don't want you to have a good time. They do. They just love you, and they care for you, and that's why they're here. And you should love them and respect them enough to say, you know what, Mom, Dad, you want to spend this time with me? I'm good with that. You know, it's going to take 45 minutes to an hour. You can handle it for a little while. Yeah. So that's just one of the things that stays fresh on my mind when we're having this conversation.
Yeah, I think just being honest, not that you're trying to guilt anybody or make them feel bad because they don't want their parents there,
right?
But just have those honest conversations and explain to them you're lucky.
Yeah.
You still have your mm-hmm. parents to spend time with, and don't take that for granted. And on the flip side, have those same honest conversations with the parents. What are the pros and cons of hands-off ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And just be honest. That's just kind of the approach that I take. And I know we didn't really answer this question, but there's really not a good answer to the question. Yeah.
I think what you said is huge. I mean, you just being honest with both sets, you know, mm-hmm. at some point there's going to come a time when, you know, parents are going to realize that, you know, hey, this is a good time for my child to go and be independent for a little while. You know, we had a couple of kids go on a trip with us, and I got several text messages from their parents just wanting to check in. You know, they still talked with them, and they wanted to be with them, and, you know, for work or whatever, they weren't able to go on the trip with us, but they would still talk to them and communicate with them. But they would check with me and say, you know, how are they, okay? You know, mm-hmm. did they take a shower? Did they brush their teeth? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. And as a parent now, it's different for me.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 24, 25, I would think, man, you know, you were driving these kids insane. No wonder, you know, but man, the parental involvement is just so crucial to having a good family ministry, a good family home. And we have to encourage that and support that and try to influence that as much as we can.
Well, one of the things that we haven't really addressed today is you have kids in your congregation that don't have a family.
For sure.
So you need adults there. Yeah. Parents there who can love on them just as they do their own kids mm-hmm. and help them to realize that, yeah, your parent is here, but they're also being a parent to these other kids and creating a family atmosphere within your ministry.
Man, that's huge. That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But, I mean, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of going back to, you know, one of the thoughts that I was having was, you know, how do you handle those kids who don't have parents within the, yeah, have parents maybe, but not in the congregation and maybe not even grandparents. And so, you know, one thing I was thinking about was when we do overnight trips, if we do this as a family retreat where we say, this is obviously for all teenagers, we don't want you to miss out just because you may not have family there. But what I would like to do is do like adopt a family that teenager or those teenagers, then we plug them in with so all the family games, they go and they have a family. And most of ours who are like that have kids in youth group that they're close enough to that they know their parents.
Sure.
So they would probably naturally just migrate that way anyway. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's some things you can do to make that not uncomfortable for them, but it's something you got to think about too,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and you can jump into another topic for another podcast, intergenerational ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what that boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, good conversation today about yep. parental involvement. I mean, you know, it's just so important to life and to making sure that we're, you know, just capitalizing on every opportunity we have to spend time with families and to minister to families and to show families and teenagers alike that it's important to spend that time together. So we look forward to your comments, to your suggestions. As far as this topic goes, we thank you, Andrew, for being a part of the show today. We've really enjoyed having you. We will have you back. I think that's safe to
say.
Well,
it sounds like he's putting his name in there for when we talk about intergenerational
ministry.
Hey,
I'd love to. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another focus that we want to put.
Yeah, for sure.
On this year,
so. I think we will definitely have you back in for that. So, guys, thank you for tuning in. Jess, Andrew, it's final rush time. What do you guys got coming up? Andrew, we'll start with
Andrew,
you.
Andrew, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry, I didn't.
I'm new to the final rush. Yeah. We have a lot going on, a lot coming up in the spring. We have some things that we're working on in ministry, and mentoring program is one of those, as well as rethinking our curriculum and maybe getting away from defining our classes by ages as far as mm-hmm. the youth group goes.
Love it.
And we're also getting excited about our summer mission trip. We're not going off anywhere. We're going to Rogersville.
Oh,
and
nice.
We're spending week doing mission work inside of our own community and trying to hit on the aspect of going into the world means going into your backyard sometimes.
Yeah.
So we got a lot going on, and we're just excited about it.
Yeah. Jess, what about you? What's coming up?
Well, we have our young men's service Sunday night, and so we've got some talented young men lined up for that. So I'm always excited to see them up there. Of course, our young men, actually, our youth do all of our Wednesday night services except for the speaking and the announcements. So yeah. We get to see them up there quite often, but as far as leading the whole service, it's always an honor to watch them. Very talented. But on the other side of mission work, we're finalizing our plans for our overseas mission trip this summer, cool. This week, trying to get our team nailed down. I think I've got between 15 and 20 going.
Very good.
And actually, what we've been talking about today, we've got a lot of parents going. So
that's awesome.
That I know of. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about finalizing that team, actually knowing who's going so that we can start planning for the VBSs we're going to teach and doing all the fun stuff that you can do leading up to your mission trip. So that's kind of what's going on here. It's not obvious to y'all, but I talked to Travis Harmon, who's speaking at our Gulf Coast retreat. So obviously that's in the future is what I was going to say next month. And so I talked to him yesterday, I believe, and talked about some of the things he's going to speak to us about. So I'm looking forward to that. But again, it's one of those things that we'll be talking about before.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you guys and what's coming up. You know, on the horizon for us very quickly, you know, we have the fifth Sunday service as well. And we're going to try to do an event with our college age group on Sunday night. You know, we had talked about, Jess and I had in the past, about our college group is pretty huge for our congregation. It's one of the largest groups of college kids we've ever had at one time. I think we have 14 or 15. So in a congregation of 225, mm-hmm. you know, that's a pretty good size for a college group. So we're going to try to get something going with them. And then we have a sweetheart banquet coming up. We kind of center that around Valentine's Day, but it's for the older couples. And so our youth group will be involved with that. They will cater the meal and we'll serve their food and, you know, just kind of have some things going on with that. But I did want to share something with you guys. I found an app yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes to ministry and
those are few and far between.
There's so little of them that you might want to look at this one. But when it comes to ministry and it comes to balancing your finances and keeping your finances in order, there's one I know for a fact it's on the Apple Store. It's called Mint, MINT. And it helps you to balance all of your bills that you've got coming out. It sends you alerts. And, you know, we've got so many things going on that if you don't set aside some time to just go and pay your bills, you know, you'll get behind. It's very easy to do. So this thing will send you reminders about every single bill that you've got out there. And it will, in fact, attach to your profile for whatever credit cards, whatever bills you've got coming out, your utility department, whatever, and it will ding you an alert to let you know that that's coming up. So if you don't have it, use it. I think you will love it. We've experienced good things from it so far. So yeah, Mint, MINT, if you're not using an app to balance your finances.
This is way beyond the final rush and is getting into just us chatting. But because I do think that, you know, being good stewards of God's money and how we handle our money is important. Is that because I actually read an article yesterday that had like the five best, it was like the top five budgetary apps that you can download. Is this one of them that will put your change from your transactions into a separate account? I know there's some that do that. I was just curious if
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but that would be neat. I would look into that.
Well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned
that. Yeah, I know
what
you're talking about, but I can't remember the name.
So if anybody knows what it is, let us know. We'll be happy to share. All right. Very good topic today. But, Jess, if the people want to get in touch with us, how do they do this?
All right. You can get in touch with the Ministry Zoo on Facebook at facebook.com/MinistryZoo. We're on Twitter at Ministry Zoo. We're on the Podomatic app, Google Play, the iTunes podcast app, and adventuresinministry.com, or you can download the AIM app. That's A-I-M, and that stands for Adventures in Ministry. Download that. Check out their resources. And you can email us at ministryzoo@gmail.com. We covet your suggestions and your comments, and, you know, sometimes we're just lonely and we want to talk to somebody. So get in touch with us any way that you can, and we love that interaction. Again, Andrew, thank you so much for being here. I have a special place in my heart for Rogersville. It's where my wife grew up going to church. It's where her family goes now, and it's where we were married, although they tore down that building and built on top of it, but it's still special to us.
Yes, and your father-in-law has a very nice beard.
I think you're trying to catch up with him.
I have beard envy. I'm just saying.
My father-in-law looks like Hagrid. And I think he loves that a little bit. So, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's good being you guys today. Yeah. And I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, please give us some comments, suggestions. We love that.
Absolutely. We hope to be with you again next week. Andrew, we hope you can join us again soon. And we will see you next time. Go Cubs.